The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett will share some big ideas that will challenge you to think about profit at your company in a whole new way. When you work in the trenches of your industry every day, it's easy to become consumed with little gains and small profits. Day in and day out, you put your head down, grind it out, and celebrate progress wherever it's made. But there are times when big changes are needed. Sometimes you don't have the time or the resources to play the long game. Sometimes the long ball makes it into the back of the net. There's nothing wrong with looking at the little things. In fact, in today's episode, we'll discuss how some of the small things are, in fact, quite important. However, today's episode is not about making minor tweaks to your company. Today, we're talking about some big ways that you can shake up your company and supercharge your profits. On today's episode, you'll hear how to reassess the clients you work with. Take the time to figure out the gross profit percentage of each customer, and don't be afraid to cut ties with your least profitable customers. Next, we'll discuss some ways to increase profits by becoming more efficient. When you make efficiency part of the culture of your workplace, the small things your workers do can produce extraordinary results. And finally, we'll talk about why outsourcing some of your work is a consistent path to profit. As uncomfortable as it may be to think about, part of your due diligence should include exploring all options about increasing profitability. In our experience, there are a lot of ways to increase your profit if you outsource some of your work to other places. If you're looking for some powerful ways to increase your profit, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello again. It's James Kennedy here with the Gross Profit Podcast. You're welcome back to another episode with my co-host here, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you today?
Great, James. I'm super, super excited about today's podcast. We're just really looking forward to that. And I'm also super excited because I believe our book is nearly completed and it's ready to be published soon.
That's right. It's going to the printers next week, I think. Profit Leaks, which we have come back to as a title. And of course, listeners can get a free chapter at book.procurementexpress.com. I actually released it to, I showed it to the rest of the company this week, and I got pretty good feedback on it. They were all impressed. So it's a good read, actually, Garrett. I have to compliment you on your chapters in particular. They're pretty entertaining.
Thanks, James. Yeah. I think it was a good book. It was a great project to work on. I think, you know, anyone listening should really go over there to the website and get themselves a copy and to really learn some insights on how to make money on their business.
Well, when you think about it, Garrett, really, you cannot get enough of us two. Not only should you listen to the podcast, you should actually read our book when you're not listening to the podcast.
Brilliant idea. And I think in next week's podcast, James, we'll have to do some kind of competition to give away a book to a lucky listener, and we can both sign it and send it off to them, first edition for their treasure troves, you know.
And that'll be a banker. That'll be worth money in years to come, I'd say. The first edition, the original OG book, Profit Leaks book. It'll be worth big money, I'll tell you. Okay, so let's get stuck in. People have clicked on this podcast because it's three ways to supercharge your profits. Who doesn't like to supercharge profits? So we better deliver on that promise now, Garrett.
No problem, James. We're always delivering. Don't worry. And this one is a good one on today's podcast because what we're talking about is we're not talking about small little things to kind of, you know, up your profit a little bit by, you know, tweaking your Google AdWords a little bit or something like that. What we're talking about is big ways to really, you know, hit your profits and really give them a supercharge and really boost them. So these are big ideas. They're not going to be that easy to implement. They might be challenging, but they really will help your profits. So the first one I want to discuss is to dump your customers. Yes, I've said it. Dump your customers who are not profitable. That is the key. So there's a lot of stuff going on in that simple phrase, you know. So what does dump mean? Which customers and how do you know if they're profitable? Well, let's break that down. So if we think about who's a profitable customer? What does that actually mean? Are we talking about gross profit, net profit? Are we talking about contribution? So what you need to do in that case is hire or get in touch with your management accountant and get them to analyze out your numbers. And what they need to do then is split your costs, direct costs that are attributable to each of your customers, and really put the costs in the right bucket against each of those customers. And that'll give you your correct gross profit. So when people think about gross profit, what gross profit really means is for every sale I make, what direct costs are going in against that sale? So these are costs that are going in directly against the sale. So a lot of costs are direct, but there's a lot of costs that aren't direct. So you can think about things like rent of your building, rates, electricity. Very difficult to actually split those costs in against each product or service. So in this case, what we want to look at is if we're fulfilling a need and making a sale to a customer, be that a product, a service, what costs are related to directly to that actual sale? Okay. So you can have a look at that yourself. You can get your management accountant to look at that, and that'll give you a gross profit. And then you look at an amazing percentage called your gross profit percentage. And what you need to do with that number is rank your customers based on that number. And when you do that, then you can see which your customers are most profitable and which are least profitable. You can also do it by your product or service. So which products are you making the most money on and which services are you making the most money on when you sell them?
Well, Gareth.
Yes, go on.
Sorry to interrupt you there. Because I'd refer people back to the listener question we had a couple of podcasts ago, where we had a listener came in who was, you know, working harder, increasing turnover, but was not seeing an improvement in profit. And I've actually had an update from the listener since, and she discovered that actually they one of their biggest customers in the UK, which was giving them their video production company, and they were giving them a lot of videos. On the back of that podcast, they went and had a look. And of course, predictably, they thought that that customer was their best customer. Turns out they were the worst customer because they were making basically no profit on each of those jobs. And that means now they've, as a direct result of that, they increased the profit and the margin on that job. But moreover, probably they're going to let go of that customer because they just realized they're busy fools. They're working hard. It's improving turnover. But, they weren't making any profit on an individual job. And I think if you're not doing, this is actually a bit of a revelation for me since I've been talking to you, Gareth. A lot of us hire an accountant, say, to do the financial accounts. So you think, yeah, I've got an accountant that's sort of covered off. But I would say a lot of listeners here, they don't have a management accountant, which is totally different apart from the commonality in the name. I think it's very easy to miss that you actually need a separate accountant. The guy who does your taxes is probably not the right guy to help you do your management accounts.
Yep, 100%, James. I think that was a good revelation. It's great to get that feedback from the listener that they've been able to actually take on board what we've told them and implement it and actually make a real life change to how to run their business. So when you think about accountants, yeah, you can have, you know, your financial account, but your financial account is not really that useful in your day-to-day running. If your management accountant should give you management accounts, which you can, the managers look at to help them to make day-to-day decisions and drive the business forward. And then another one, and it's probably what I've kind of fallen to partially myself, is a commercial accountant. And a commercial accountant is somebody who understands actually in depth how business works and how the industry works that you're in, and can really help drive the profit and the sales on a particular business, you know. And they can be super valuable to any business and really help drive them and drive their profits. So it's good to get that feedback from the listener. So that's my first tip, is look at that. Look at your GP per customer. Look at your GP per product, your gross profit per product and service. Understand that information and make a real life decision on it. So who are your customers are you just spending a lot of time on and they're not making actually the profit you require? Now, they can be making a contribution, but are they making enough money for you? And if they're not, you need to have a think about it and either dump the customer, up your price to them. That'll help you to increase your percentage or whatever decisions you need to make. But really, we're talking big decisions here. So you might see a revenue drop in the short term, but actually increase your profits in the long term. So that's my first tip. The second tip I'm going to talk about is increased efficiency. And again, this is not a simple thing where we go in and have a little look and buy more eco-friendly cars or electric cars. Really, we're talking there about really hammering home on your staff and making sure they're doing things super efficient. And so, you know, with machinery, you're always able to look at efficiencies, and there's a lot of manufacturing efficiencies you can look at in a particular machine. It's a lot more difficult with people, isn't it? People aren't the same. Everything's, and especially with services, you know, so people are doing a service, but each service is kind of unique, isn't it? It's kind of bespoke. Even though you might say, I'm fitting a television for a customer, you know, where is that customer based? How long did it take you to get into the property? What was the wall like you fitted the television to? Whereas you have a machine making 5,000 widgets a day or a week, it's the same 5,000 widgets in the same factory by the same machine, same input. So you can really dig down into that efficiencies on that particular machine.
Well, I've come across this all the time. I think a lot of listeners would, where you're running a business and everyone comes into work, they do their work, which is fair enough, and then they go home. But then one thing we hammer home here at procurementexpress.com is this idea that ordinary things done consistently produce extraordinary results. So you can make small changes. If every staff member focuses on not just doing the work, but improving the way the work is done, even by a little bit, in aggregate, that sort of builds up into a wall of positive change, hopefully. And introducing ways of focusing on improving process change is, you have to come up ways of doing that. So what we do every Friday is we have a show and tell. It's an all hands meeting where people come in and you're encouraged to show how you improve the business that week. So the idea is, you know, we're about 15 staff. That meeting should have something every week where we improved a little bit. And it might be we improved the way we answer the phone. It might have been how we handle customer inquiries. It might have been how we build a software. Could be anything, and it could be a small thing. But the point is, if you do that consistently over time, you know, those small improvements and changes can actually, you know, make a big impact. And sometimes, hallelujah, you do a small thing, which might sound small, but actually results in a huge impact. Like an example for us was that a few years ago now, we started asking our customers how satisfied they were with the product. And the people who are most satisfied, we asked them to give us a review. And a result of that, now we are the best reviewed software of our kind in the industry. It was a small thing. It took us about half an hour to set up with the software, but it's actually a real competitive advantage. So every now and again, these small improvements could make an outsized return if you introduce that culture of continuous, some people call it Kaizen, isn't that the Japanese term? So continuous small improvements every day produce extraordinary results.
Yeah, they're great tips there, James. I think like constant innovation and constantly trying to bring in new ideas and new practices can certainly help any business to get better. And what we're thinking about in the point here is, you know, how can you do that and monitor it and make sure that what's happening is making it better or worse? Because sometimes it does work, but a lot of times it doesn't actually work. I know that from my own experience. So if you think about efficiencies for people, the way I like to look at it is I like to set goals for them. So certain targets to reach in a particular period of time, whatever period works for your business, you need to monitor that and then review it with the person. Once you review with them, you give them the feedback, develop a plan of action to take on for the next period, and off you go again. Just repeat those steps again. So you set up the goals, monitor, review, feedback, and then the actions. So that allows you then to have a look at what your people are doing. And you might need to develop new systems or procedures to capture actually what they're doing. That can be timesheets. I think we discussed that before in another podcast. You can implement timesheets, you can implement some software to see what they're doing, or just even get customer feedback and see what the customers are saying back in these people. But really, it's a company-wide thing. What's essential to get it to work is you do it for all the employees, you do it fairly, and it's done consistently. That these are very important. And if you do that, you'll see big changes in your business.
So now, you know, fire your worst customers, get more efficient. Who'd argue with that? Now we're getting controversial. What's your last tip?
We're getting controversial. Yeah, James. Well, you know, we need a big one. So the last one I would say is fire your staff. Yeah. So what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is you can actually...
Well, Garrett, I don't see how we could misunderstand what you mean by that. Seems pretty clear to me. you're no longer the secret CFO. You're the butcher of the finance team. Maybe that's what will give you a new nickname.
The finance fire. Yeah, you have to just look at your staff and really weed out some of the people who aren't performing and move them on to a happier place. So the people who really aren't delivering, when you have a look, just like you've had to do with some of your customers, when you look at your efficiency, the final tip I have is when you look at your, after you've done your efficiency and you've got people working very well for your, whatever people you can implement that with, the final thing is to look at which ones aren't working and which ones you haven't been able to implement it with and maybe move them on or reallocate them or just say, look, this isn't working out. But there is models that you can use as well, because it's not only moving, you know, firing your staff and then saying, well, who does this work now and no one does it. It's actually focusing down on your core competencies and your core activities that really generate and make you different from other companies in the area that you work in. So what I'm really talking about here is you can actually outsource a lot of stuff. So I worked for a business before which did the outsourcing for a lot of big companies, a lot of pharma companies. So the pharma would, you know, they're in high tech, high risk business. They're making a huge amount of money. And they're doing, developing new products like vaccines, or they're making tablets, or spending a huge amount on innovation. What's not a key point for them is how to keep their business, how to keep their buildings clean, you know, their offices, you know, who cares? That's not for them. They don't really care about that. They don't want to hire people and think about that. So they outsource it. So, you know, what happens in that case is they come to a business like I used to be in, to say to them, we're a high network or high value business. We don't really have time to look at this clean. You do it for us. We'll just pay you. And so we might take on their staff who used to work in cleaning, or we would bring in our own staff and do the cleaning for that business. And there's actually a very useful matrix you can use called the outsourcing decision matrix. You can find that online quite easy if you do a search for it. And it will actually give you guidance on what to do with particular suppliers and whether to actually keep that in-house or outsource it. So something that's, you know, high for performance but is not of strategic importance. So having your offices clean is obviously, you need to keep your place clean to keep your staff happy. So that does contribute to operational performance. But is it strategically important? No, of course not. So something like that, you can outsource immediately.
Well, that's good. But I mean, how do you feel about looking at, it's nice when you're looking at your spreadsheet and say, obviously we should drop staff member here. Do you never feel bad about moving people on, or just for the sake of the company? How do you square that in your mind? Or,
well, I suppose when you think about finance and about businesses, the whole idea about finance is to maximize shareholder return. That's what you're taught. So to maximize shareholder return, you just work out the numbers and a decision has to be made. Now, it's a bit like politics and the Department of Finance. You know, so the Department of Finance might say, we can't afford to build an additional hospital, or we can't afford to build additional schools. But the politician will come along and say, well, the people want this and we should build it and it's the right thing to do, you know. Or they might say, I want to get reelected in this area, so let's build a bloody hospital. You know, that's more likely what would happen. So all you can do in finance is give people information, and then they can make whatever decisions they want based on that information. So I think that's, you know, it'd be remiss of someone in finance or an accountant not to notice and to pass on this information. Mm-hmm. But it's clearly up to the business owner to decide, well, you know, I'm actually happy enough with the profits we're making and I'm not going to outsource that. I'm going to keep that in-house. But outsourcing is not always bad. Sometimes you get better terms and conditions if you move to an outsource model for the employee, and also it can give them job security, because even they're not secured to one company. So if your cleaners there were just working for you, James, and then something happened or you said, I'm relocating the offices to another location, they're all gone. Whereas they worked for an outsource company who had them in cleaning that office, the outsource company would say, well, actually, don't worry, we have two more businesses down the road. We're going to move you down to them to start cleaning their offices now instead. So, you know, there's good and bad to everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, we have this discussion with, you know, people in business, and more or less of the people that moved on from companies I've worked on, they've all more or less ended up in a better situation. You know, like if normally the normal error is to hold on to people for too long for everyone involved, you know, and a better larger picture is to, if someone's not making a contribution, obviously ultimately, they know that on some level, it's not good for them. It's not good for the company. Just you have to push ahead with it, I think, you know. So that's good. So we have three solid ways you can supercharge your profits in this episode. We started off with fire your worst customers, make sure you're doing proper cost accounting, hire a fine accountant like the secret CFO Garrett here, or another commercial accountant who can help you figure out which projects are profitable and which are not. Similarly, introduce a culture of efficiency, which I guess you can do through goal setting, which is Garrett's favorite technique. I like to surface and celebrate people who are improving or introducing efficiencies in the business on a weekly basis. And we introduce a space where you can do that. And then finally, fire your staff. Controversial, maybe, but I think you hit the nail on the head there, Garrett. The finance team is duty bound to at least surface that information, make it clear what's right for the business. And then, you know, a decision could be made about what to do by the ownership.
So true. Yep. That's it, James. That's the 3 points for today. And hopefully people can take them on board and action them and move their business forward to higher growth crops.
Great. Okay. Until next time.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James and Garrett. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on some changes you can make that will have a big effect on your profits. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.